exactly what those are. I'm impressed by his ability to help us. All right. So let's take a moment and pray then. If you'd like to join us around the altars are open. It's a piece of furniture that we use to provide ourselves as living sacrifice. And wait a moment if anybody wants to do that, and then we'll just pray together. All right? Yeah, let's pray. Lord, I say thank you for allowing me to be in your presence. And I thank you that you have come to inhabit the praise of your people. You have helped us to sing joyfully. You've made us laugh because of your presence. If it wasn't for you, I am convinced there'd be no laughter in this world. It is way too desperate of a place without you. So thank you for helping us to be at the place where we are, that we begin to understand that you take care of the serious issues, and that we can call upon you, we can follow you, and you can help us. We've heard the request for family. We've heard the praise reports of how you've opened a door for a young person to get to college. There are other people that you are blessing and helping. You've answered prayers that Debbie might be with her mom, and I ask that might be a great time tonight. I ask you to be with our young people that are with Denise and Chris and the other room that are being blessed because your presence is there. Help those who are traveling. Thanks for allowing Vaughn to stop in here tonight on his travel, that he might worship and be with his church family on a journey of faith. We pray that you would help him and Autumn, and that you would do your perfect work in our families, in relationships, and surprise us by how you're able to help us in our desperate times. Thank you for being with family members that are in Texas or that are headed for trials and cities to be yet named later. Would you just go with Mike and help him on this journey, and be with Chuck and Ashley, and we think about Alex and Ed tonight, and Nick and others that we have brought before the throne of grace. We heard about Fred and Charlie. I know that you're able to help each one. Doctors do their best, but oh God, would you just bring the relief that is needed and surprise us by what you're doing in the lives of these that have assembled here tonight. Continue to help Mark on his journey and go before him in a time of trials. Be with Hannah as she heads to the city on Tuesday. Be with Gig as she recovers from her surgery. Ed, would you continue to strengthen his shoulder, and Linda, and prepare them for times and seasons and hours, and continue to take care of their needs, and be with Caden tonight as they travel on the highway. And I thank you for each person that's in this service, for how you're blessing, especially those unknown requests that are so sensitive that you don't even think I need to know, but I'm glad you take care of them. Would you look after each one, and may they again testify as to what you have done, because you take care of even that unknown petition. Thank you for letting me pastor and bless these people that are here tonight. Thank you for birthday parties and celebrations and laughter. Thank you for blessing the twins and even Evan on his fourth birthday. Would you be with Gabby and help her pick the right school, teacher, opportunities to bless and help in family dynamics and grace and love and mercy, and continue to make her a blessing. Thank you for letting her be here tonight, and may this be a blessing to her and an inspiration so that she might lead us to the place of grace. So thank you for the remainder of this service, what we are going to hear from heaven, the treasures that you would unfold. May we pack our minds full of this great truth, shape our hearts, and bless our lives so that we might bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Matthew chapter 16, there's a few verses there I wanted to share with you. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. Matthew chapter 16. Pew Bible 518. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. There's been a discussion sometimes in our world who Jesus is. I'm glad to tell you he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's what we believe, it's what we teach, it's what we experience, that he is at work. You got some things happening? Is there a temperature change that needs to be adjusted out there? What's a shoo mean? I guess we're pretty much right on target. Is that, we got the fans, we could put the air conditioning on, whatever you want to do. But is fans helping? Is that good? I see somebody just got out from under the pew. Apparently the air movement is helping. It's cooler on the floor. I was just thinking, that's a pretty good indication it's warm in the room when you're laying on the... All right. Oh, there you go. Those will go as fast as you want. All right. You guys okay? We need lotion for windburn? You won't have to fan yourself with those going at that velocity. I think there's an RPM switch back there, and we'll adjust that. That should have given you enough time to find Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, unless the wind changed your pages. You might have to go back a page or two. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they say, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Now that was some time ago. We get to tell everybody who will listen he is the Christ. We don't have to stop telling because it is true. He demonstrated it with his resurrection that he is exactly who the prophet said he would be. The church is only mentioned three times in the Synoptic Gospel. Only Matthew records Jesus' teaching about the church, and that's what we're looking at tonight, that he said, "I will build my church." What an amazing statement in our world that Jesus himself leaves this to his hand alone. Does that help? He's going to build the church. There's enough issues, enough concerns in the world that we'll have our part, and part of that. The first time that the church is mentioned in the Bible is in the New Testament. It's a word that Jesus introduces to us. Church, a body of believers, an assembling together for the cause of Christ. The Old Testament talks about the tabernacle, the temple, and direction given from Mount Sinai. But the church is something Jesus is going to build. This is an upgrade. This is a powerhouse for the glory of God. And he states that he's going to build it upon the rock of the revelation that Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, if you believe that, you have already heard the Spirit speaking to you. If you believe that simple truth that Jesus is the Christ, you've heard from heaven. Because there's no way to believe that without God's help. That's what Jesus is telling Peter. Peter, you couldn't say that if God didn't reveal that to you. Did you know there's things on earth that you can't say until God reveals them to you? And there are things that we can't say until we say what we do know. Any of you ever been in school? I think Gabby's in school. What grade are you in, Gabby? Fourth grade. Anybody remember that? Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. That was a rhetorical question, Kathy. You and Robert, if I ask a question, it doesn't have to be answered. Is that all right? I just want to make sure you guys understand that. Sometimes I'm just trying to get you to think, not speak. Yeah, way too much information there. Yeah, I think I understand what you're talking about. Yeah. Don't blame Charlie here tonight. There is a revelation that helps us to occupy our time and space in the church until Jesus arrives. He puts us where he wants us to be in the body of Christ, and he keeps us there for our safety, for the blessing of the church, and his glory. Does that make sense? He could have had anybody preaching tonight, but he chose to bring me here because he could help you to see how much glory he receives because of my life. Does that make sense? Without Jesus, I'm not even sure you would like me. And it is so true. But Christ makes us lovable and able to love. That's how it happens. He is the way, the truth, and the life. My ministry is based, as Peter's was, on how I answer this question and how I answer it every time I'm asked, who do you say I am? It's important that we tell the world who Jesus is, because I'm not sure they're going to get the truth from anybody else. Some will say he's a prophet. Some will say he may have been a great prophet. Some will say this, some will say that. And there are many people that say they are the Christ. And sometimes they have huge followings because they confess they are Christ. But again, it's delusional at best, and it's evil because they're leading people away from the truth and the life. Because anybody that walks away from the safety or from salvation is going to certain death, aren't they? If you reject the way and the truth, then you'll probably fall for anything. So we preach this truth that Jesus said, I will build my church on this simple fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why we're here tonight to celebrate. I'm not directed by flesh and blood how to answer that question. Now, I don't have to figure out how to answer it because the Spirit himself helps me to answer. And it may depend whether I'm talking to a fisherman, somebody who drives a truck over the road, maybe a nurse or a doctor or a grieving parent. It might be different how I answer that question because the Spirit will give me an ability to speak to the need in the heart of the person asking the question. If I'm talking to a farmer, I'd probably talk about planting seeds. Does that make sense? Truck drivers, you might be talking about being in the right gears and all those different things. Make sure your weight's loaded correctly, right? I mean, you're at the peril of those guys who load your trailer, aren't you? Ed, them chickens better stay set or we're all in trouble. Isn't that true? Yeah. Never mind. We'll talk later. This scripture has a promise that accompanies the revelation. I say to you that you are Peter. On this rock, the revelation, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. That's a promise. I will build my church. It's not by our design, it's by his design. He's the architect. He's overseeing the little details, and he's the one who brought you here tonight. The number of people does not add or subtract from the presence of God. He's here. He is with us when we assemble together, and I know some people love to count and they need to see what's going on. Oh, we had a real service tonight. My daughter When we first started pastoring, she wasn't very old. She was, I think she was 7 years old when we started pastoring. And one day we started playing a little bit like we were doing now, and a couple of people showed up. A friend showed up, and he started playing on the piano, and another guy showed up, knew how to play the organ. He's playing the organ, and all of a sudden, this little girl goes, "Oh, now we're having a real church." I'm like, "Whoa. What? What about all those other services when it's just Roy and only one hand playing the guitar?" Yeah, but again, the presence of Christ is what makes this the church. I have some friends that I know that are in China that they don't sing the words out loud. They look at each other and mouth them because they're in peril if people hear them talking about Christ or hearing the songs of the faith. So they worship together in groups of 10 or smaller, and they sit and they mouth the words. They don't get to sing full gusto. That's not available to them. The only people that are allowed to sing out loud like that are the ones that have already been arrested. And they tell me that's what they do there. And it also, they've reported to me that they get Sundays off. I'm like, how is that possible? And they said, well, isn't that amazing that in a prison, they stop torturing us on Sunday? I mean, how do you say that without... And they said that we do church. And they say what happens is, instead of calling out numbers, somebody begins to sing a song in this cell, and it spreads throughout the prison. And somebody will begin to quote scripture, and it comes back, and they say this: the presence of God just wafts through the jail, and they are all blessed. And those who are there instructed to watch them hear the word whether they want to or not. Isn't that amazing? Again, God will build his church. You can be the most corrupt government in the world and you can't stop the church. I think we need to hear that. I think we need to know that God promised he would do it. And it has nothing to do with the number of people. It has everything to do with the relationship of the people who get together with Christ. And he is the one who manifests himself. The size and the dimensions of the building do not make a bigger or better church. You could meet in a house, you could meet, sometimes you could meet in a store, or you could pray underneath a tent, or you could turn a birthday party into a prayer meeting if you're not careful. Oh, that was yesterday. Yeah, I said, I'm leaving. They said, not without praying. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? Amen. He will build his church. It makes an impact. It changes what's going on. There are some examples of what's going on in geographical areas. You can send people in church houses. And Paul writes in some of his letter, he said, the churches in Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that meets in their house. Sometimes the church is underground. Sometimes it is the center of town. But Jesus is Lord of all. Does that help? That should help us. So when you're driving in your truck, aren't you glad the Lord could be there? That he can help you and guide you on that journey. Again, there's no concern necessarily about the difference in the size of the church. The emphasis is on the relationship that each member has with Jesus Christ. That's our emphasis. So I get to work with you tonight. I get to talk to you about your relationship with Christ. In some ways, the less people I have, the more intimate that discussion can become. And when there's large numbers, it may be a little more difficult, but again, the Holy Spirit is at work. And Luke writes, "For to whom everyone much is given, from him much will be required. To whom much has been committed of them, they will ask even more." Have you noticed that? That what you have is necessary, and you, as you give it away, people require more out of you. And the Lord sometimes puts you in extra places of leadership. I think somehow my route to this particular pulpit came because some time ago I was asked to teach, of all things, a junior boys class. And again, I've never been small. I've been younger. And they said, would you teach the junior boys? And I went, what's that entail? Oh, there's some boys in a room and you give them a lesson. Okay, I'll try that. Well, I walked in the room and these weren't boys. These were real boys. And they're on the table, they're crawling out the window, they are. And so the only way I could keep order in the classroom is I leaned up against the door the whole time I was there. I just leaned on the door. Locked the windows, they couldn't get them open, leaned on the door, and the kids were in the room. And I said, boy, I need to quit that class, because I didn't do anything. The only thing I did was keep the monkeys in the cage. And they said, that's not the way we see it. You were the only one ever to keep them in the room. You got that room. That's your assignment. I'm like, I don't think I was teaching. I said, yeah, again, nobody else even kept them in the room. They disturbed every class. Said, you got it next week again. So for several weeks, all I do is lean on the door. And then they ask me, why are you there? And I get to tell them, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. Jesus? Who's Jesus? Right? Who do you say Jesus is? Isn't that a question we always get asked? Don't tell me the world doesn't know the name of Jesus. I've heard it. Wrong connotation, haven't you? But we need to tell them who he really is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is not just an expletive that you use when you're angry. There are other words you should say if you're upset. You might start with, I'm upset. Yeah. Okay. Kathy, let's tell you this. No. The church that makes up the body of Christ is assembled by the Holy Spirit. Some assembly is required, isn't it? The Holy Spirit has to bring us together, put us in the right place, the right service for him so that he's glorified. And sometimes it is a challenge for us, because Paul writes these words. How about this? I now rejoice in my suffering for you. So does that mean life isn't always joyous and always, right? I look back, hey, it wasn't fun to be in that room with them clowns. Does that make sense? It wasn't the thing I look forward to every week. I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Does that make sense? So that, did you know there's things we do at the church that we wouldn't do anywhere else? One lady stopped in one time, I was helping in the kitchen, and she came over and said, Pastor, you must think your spiritual gift is washing dishes. Is that one of your gifts? And I said, no, it's one of the needs. Does that make sense? And my gift is to find out what a need is and see if I can't help with it. Do you see the difference? So the only thing I'm ashamed of is sin. Anything else I can do. Any other job in the church I could do. But I cannot sin, because that's embarrassing. Does that make sense? So that's what I'm ashamed of. But it is the Christ who redeems me from my sin. And Paul goes on to write in Corinthians, he says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are still one body, so also is Christ. We're all in Christ. So if one is rejoicing, we all rejoice. If one is weeping, we all rejoice. If you don't think that's true, When's the last time you stubbed your little toe in the middle of the night? This week I took my toenail off. I bumped it. Well, stop. It's my toenail. Didn't hurt you at all. I can't believe you said that. I was going to tell you I bumped it a couple of weeks ago and it just now was loose, so I just took it off. But don't you think my whole body knew I did that?
Yes.
That was the point. Sorry, I didn't need to be so graphic. If you're listening to this on the tape or the CD, don't shut it off. There was a point to all of that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I could tell by your laughter that you were feeling my pain. The good news is every member knows Jesus is the head. Every member knows Jesus is the head. He's in charge. And what he keeps telling me to do and what he keeps asking me to tell you is we got to love one another. And you love one another by communicating with one another and spending time with each other. There's no other way to do it. It's not easy. It's not cheap time. It's investment. And every minute, if you don't think that's true, there's some people here who can tell you that every moment you spend with somebody is valuable. It is valuable. And we get to do it for the glory of God. How cool is that? We have a better purpose, a higher purpose, a glorious calling to spread the good news. And so when we spend together, time together, when we invest in each other, it's not a disappointment. And the head of the church, Jesus Christ himself, directs each of us in our function and in our helps and times. And he makes us available. I had an appointment today that I thought it was pretty well set. And they called me back and said, hey, let's not get together today. Let's do it tomorrow, which would be Monday. And I went, okay, but you know, I blocked out that time. Now what am I going to do? And then I get a phone call from somebody else said, hey, I'm going to be in town. Can you pick me up and get me a ride to church? I'm like, whoa, how do you do that? How do you block out time that really isn't time so you can be where you're supposed to be? So like if you think you're going to garden for the afternoon and somebody comes by, God might send you a messenger that comes by and says, hey, what about that birthday party? Okay, I'd rather go to the birthday party than gardening anyhow, wouldn't you? Is any of this making sense? So you block out time to do what you think you need to do, but the head's still in charge. And he builds us tightly and fitly together. Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body, which means he will direct every individual to be doing what they need to do for the benefit of the whole body. Does that make sense? So we work in cooperation. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, now God has set the members, each one of them, exactly where it pleases him. Any of you like to garden? Don't you put your little flowers where you want them? Or if you're talking about your what was that other kind of garden? A vegetable garden? I don't even know. I can't even say that word. A vegetable garden. But if I remember correctly, that when you're putting a row in, a lot of people would, what they would tell me to do, especially my grandfather, was he said, put, when you finish a package, put a stick in the ground and put the package on it so I know what's there. So I'll know what's there. That's what I need to know, what's planted there. Because it makes a difference. Because some of it, if it comes up too thick, I can move it and all that stuff, but you just do what I tell you. See, I'm pretty good at pastoring. I just do what I'm told. Pretty good at body life, aren't we? Do what the Lord asks us. Because the head directs every individual member. And he sets the individual member exactly where he wants them to be placed. And again, we begin to understand that God has called us to be, of all places, here. How do you know that? That's where we are. And he helps us to be together. So here we begin to understand that a church is also known as perhaps a heavenly garrison, an outpost of heaven. Don't you like that picture? That we'll get to be called to heaven one day, but until then we're going to fight the good fight right here with the people that have been assigned to this place. Does that make sense? And how do you do that? You love them. That's the requirement, to love the guy, to love the woman, to understand that God is mobilizing us. And there are some that the Lord will help us to train, to equip and mobilize, that the Lord will send us. And that's what I hope these training sessions, preaching times are, preparing you so that you don't lose hope, that we continue to encourage one another, and that we continue to do the battle. Probably the best description of the church is that we get to be the bride of the Lamb of God. We're the bride. You've come to church. It may look like a little common door, but the church gets big quick, doesn't it? Because it's part of the body of Christ. It's a worldwide. And we also talk about the church universal because there are people in heaven that we love, that they're a part of the body of Christ. Out of sight, but yet still a part of the body. I've been exploring this church for a while. I think it's been like 27 years now, and I haven't seen all of it yet because we keep adding members. People keep showing up. They keep bringing their friends. They keep coming to hear the good news. And the truth is, there's still room for more. You can invite anybody you want to hear the good news. And so that's why Christ says he'll build the church. There's probably three types of people in the church. There's you. There are people who know more than you. That's number two. And number three, people who know less than you. So the relationship is based upon God's ability to speak through others to bless others, right? So if somebody knows, listen. If somebody needs to know, speak. Does this help at all? We learn from our mistakes, don't we? Did you know I don't have time to make them all? So we talk about them so that we can learn from the mistakes that we make and so that others might be blessed by them. And so we simply do the old railroad crossing thing. We watch, listen, and pray. Right? Remember before, anybody remember train crossings? You've said them ding, 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 ding. Does this bring it back a memory to anybody? Yeah, our house was probably a mile from the railroad tracks. And on them summer nights when the windows were open, I could sleep through a train. Bah, 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 never heard it. Yeah. But in this case, I want you to watch, listen, and pray. Does that make sense? That's the church. That's our responsibility. And you'll hear some stories, maybe even tonight as we eat around the table and as we fellowship together, as we laugh, and sometimes we cry, don't we? But again, we listen for the impulses of the head of the church that tells us how to respond as a body. Does that make sense? Sometimes we embrace. There's a time for everything, isn't there? Yeah. Okay. Comments, questions? This useful? Christ is building his church. He'll use us as much as we will allow him to do that. I hope this was useful to you because I can't build the church. Does that make sense? The building's not a problem. I'll just call Charlie. Tell him, Charlie, take care of that. But the building is not the church. The building is simply the place where the church comes to worship. The people are the church. Remember that little, what was that?
Church, people.
Right? Yeah, we need to fix the theology on that, that this is a church, here's a steeple, open the door and see the... No. Here's the church. Does that make sense? The church is the people. And if you lose sight of that, then we begin to maintain buildings, and that's not our responsibility. Though we do maintain them, but we do it for a different reason than you think. We do it so that if somebody comes here, they won't get hurt. Right? We don't want you to trip when you walk in because the carpet's peeling up. And again, there's all kinds of reasons why we maintain this building, but it's not because we want it to be perfect. We want it to be maintained so that we can bless people who come here. That's why we have padded pews, because I can preach as long as I want. I'm ready. I can tell it's time to go, so let me pray for you. And that was as long as I wanted to preach tonight. But I really think the Lord prompts me to stop. Lord, thank you for being here, for being a living, loving God who's building your church, using people, not to use them as the world uses them, but to make them a blessing to those who they sit next to and listen to. I thank you for the way you make this word come to life as we experience your mercy, love, and grace. I know that you are the head of the church and we are to become your bride, and a part of that celebration is forthcoming. So help us to prepare for that day by doing all we can this day. Is there anyone I could pray for before we go? Maybe just raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anybody need me to pray for you around the altar before we go? I could anoint you or just let your petitions or your burdens be left right here. So as I say this final benediction, if you want us to pray around the altar, just come forward. Lord, thanks for meeting us here, for giving me these words to share with these precious people. It's your truth. It matters who we say Jesus is. And the church becomes a reality, a light that shines in darkness, and a center of hope, and a place of redemption and salvation for a lost world. So thank you for letting us know who we are and reminding us you will build the church. And for that, we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your listening ears and your participation.